Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you for the warm welcome, the hospitality. It's just been, as the young people say, off the chart. It's been off the chart. I learned that from Emily, who has recently returned back home. Such a blessing to us in that headquarters there. I said it in the first service, and it just it mandates repeating, and that is the atmosphere. You know, you're coming here all the time, and so never take it for granted. I have opportunity to speak in churches all throughout the year, and the worship atmosphere here is just so invigorating, so uplifting. To you, it's like, well, this is just what we do, but it's not what everyone does. And it's just something about the atmosphere that, you know, everything has an atmosphere that sustains it. You know that to be true. You know, there's a environment, atmosphere. You pull a fish out of water and put it on the side, it's going to die because you pulled it out of the environment that sustains it. And there's just an environment here, an atmosphere of worship. And again, it's feeding your spirit more than you realize. You need to always take advantage of that. And I appreciate it, Pastor, what you said about let's not close the altars. Let's not close the altars because that's happening. Well, I'll just leave it like that. That's happening. Let's pray. Father, we look to you again because we recognize that, Lord, I can stand here and preach Jesus, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal him, nothing will be said with any eternal value. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've afforded me. I don't take this for granted. Lord, Pat may have appointed me to be here, but I know that there's an assignment that you've placed upon my life, and to that I am very sensitive. I ask that you would give me entrance into the heart of the men and women under the sound of my voice. And God, that you would release clarity and understanding so that which you have given me to pour into them, Father, nothing will remain in me that has been assigned to them, but that which you have given me to pour into them, Father, would come as revelation and truth. And for this, we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to remind you of two cities that's in a cluster of five known as the cities of the plain. Their names are very familiar to us, and as I read this one, actually two verses in Genesis, the 18th chapter, you know exactly the cities that I'm referring to. It says, Genesis 18, verse 20, it says, then the Lord said, the outcry, I want you to highlight that in your mind, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. And so what we see happening in this historical setting is still happening throughout our cities today. There's an outcry of despair. There's an outcry of remorse, an outcry of pain and addiction. And the list goes on and on and on. Our cities are inundated with this outcry. And it's through missions. Hear me, saints of God. It's through missions that we respond to these cries. The Lord reminded me last night as I was looking over my notes that missions is not a convention. Missions is a lifestyle. It is not a convention, it is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, and that's why faith promises are so necessary, because they add momentum in bringing in the harvest. It's not finances. Yes, we do give finances, but it's not finances. It's souls. That's the way I'd like for you to see that. Your faith promises are claiming souls for the kingdom of God. Lost humanity is crying out. Why? Because of hopeless situations. They're crying out because they feel their lives no longer have value. They're crying out because they feel trapped and there's nowhere to turn. No relief. They're trapped and they can't escape. Now, the neighborhoods that you and I live in are not the only areas where those cries are heard, but it is the place that God has assigned to you and to me. But ye will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Stop. Stop at Jerusalem. Let's not move into Judea until we have saturated Jerusalem, until we have saturated our neighborhoods, until we have saturated our places of employment. Can I get an amen? My text comes out of the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 31. I'm not going to read that entire passage, but we'll highlight those scriptures as we move into the message. I have titled the message, Can You Hear the Cry? Can you hear the cry? Cries coming from fragmented lives throughout our cities. Cries coming from thousands of refugees that are being brought into our nations. Even as we speak, 10,000 refugees from Syria are being brought into North Dallas area. And our missionaries there are working feverishly, collecting supplies and all of what they will need to settle in our nation. All of the refugees and the immigrants, the undocumented that are brought into our nation, represented by the two thieves that lay on the cross, that were nailed to the cross with Jesus. One of those were crying, both of them were crying out. One was crying out for relief. Save yourself and us. One was crying out for redemption. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so when you look at all of the refugees, they're either crying out for relief because of persecution, because of just the atrocities that are happening in their homeland, or they're crying out for redemption. God has sent them here to hear the good news of the gospel. And we are a part of that. Praise God. Amen. We get to walk alongside the Holy Spirit in bringing men and women into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where they will bend their knee and bow their heart and declare him Lord of all in their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And so my question is, can you hear their cry? Isaiah, the 50th chapter, verse 4 declares, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. He has given that to me. As his people, we have that, saints. He has given me an instructed tongue that knows the word to sustain the weary. It goes on to say that he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen like one being taught. God awakens our ears to listen like one being taught. And when we are brought when we're brought in the presence of someone who does not know God, he gives us that tongue that knows the words that will sustain those who are weary, downcast, broken, disenfranchised. The cry, they're all around us. Can you hear the cry? The first cry in our text is in verses 19 through 21. It said there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. He was covered with sores and longing. Just that word longing speaks volumes. Many who are crying out are longing. They're longing for peace. They're longing for comfort. Longing to be appreciated. Longing to be valued. But here Lazarus is longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Don't give me a lot. I just want to be satisfied. Longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. This world that we live in, this world full of turmoil, hurting people all around us. And in our text, Lazarus represents those people. Lazarus represents the brokenhearted. Lazarus represents those who are disenfranchised, those who have been marginalized. And not just them. Lazarus also represents the influential. I mentioned this morning that the teenagers of the influential is the largest group that's engaging in suicide. We have a meeting scheduled at the end of this month where we're bringing missionaries in. We have a couple of instructors that are going to help them to identify those who are suicidal. And then we have another group that's going to come in, and this is how you minister to those who've experienced suicide. We're getting calls where one was going downstairs and found their loved one. Just think about that. Another trying to open up the garage door, and it kept going down and up and down, and finally they got it to go up, and there were the legs of someone who had hung themselves. Just a trauma of encountering someone like that. You know, but my thoughts are, at some point, that person was crying. That person was crying out. They'd come to a place where life no longer mattered. There was nothing to live for. God, give us ears to hear those cries before we encounter the suicide. Can you hear the cry? Can you hear the cry? Lazarus represents broken humanity. There's a place that only God can fill in the hearts and the lives of men and women. Aren't you glad he has filled that place in your heart? Amen. Amen. And man, while he attempts to fill it, he uses substitutes. Substitutes like whiskey and drugs, wealth, ungodly relationships, pornography. It's another thing that's on the rise. It's on the rise among Christian men and women. But even in that, there's a cry. There's a cry to satisfy what only God can satisfy. Those cries are coming from our neighborhood. They're even coming from the hardest of hearts, men and women that you would be a little reluctant to approach. But even in that hard-heartedness, there's a cry. They're crying out to be loved. They're crying out to be accepted. They're crying out to be delivered. I'm reminded of a man named Skip, truck driver. Very vulgar in his language. The books he would try to come and show me. I want to see that. Because Skip knew I was serving the Lord. Just taunting at times. And every time he left, walked down the ramp, I said, Skip, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I remember saying that on the streets of Chicago. We would go out around 11 o'clock, because 11 o'clock, a totally different clientele was on the street. Pastor, a lot of them were homosexuals. And we would pass out tracts. I remember passing tract out to one that says, Jesus loves you. He took the track, he ripped it up in front of me, and he flipped his cigarette at me. I moved, he missed me. And he just stared, turned around, and walked away. And as he walked away, I said, there is no sin too great that he can't forgive. He stopped, and he looked at me, and he went on his way. I believe God did something with that statement. There's no sin too great that God can't forgive. So back to Skip. I'd say to Skip, Jesus loves you. About 2 years later, I'm in the men's facility. Skip walks in. I look up in the mirror, notices him, but he's coming quickly to me. So I think it's on. And he grabs me and he says, I've come and I've tormented, ridiculed you for your faith for 2 years. And I found out last night that my wife has been sleeping with another man. Now, they eventually divorce, but today Skip serves God because Jesus loves him. That's a soul that will not slip into eternal damnation. Amen? Hallelujah. Skip was crying, even in his toughness, even in his hard-heartedness, even in his perversion. Skip needed Jesus. Don't let those things push you off. Don't let those type of statements discourage you. Those people are crying out for the Lord, whether they realize it or not. Can you hear their cries? There are cries that are coming from children, children who have been abandoned to the streets of our city, crying out for the love of a parent. It's not just overseas, saints. It's right here in our nation. I have a missionary that is in Ocala Forest. There's 600 square miles of forest. There are 47,000 people that live in that forest. 10 of those 47 live way in the heart of the forest where there is no running water, no electricity. They live in tents. They live in dilapidated trailers and just makeshift shacks. That's how they live. They need Jesus. And then further in, where very few go in that far, there are meth labs. And so their parents are on drugs constantly. It's a way for them to escape the reality that they're living in. And so the children, they're off and on their own. Those men and women who are looking for vulnerable women, they're out there. Human trafficking, because if they can convince them, we've got a better life for you. They'll bring them out, only to be enslaved by human trafficking. That's what's happening. They're crying out, and they're all around us. They're all around us. Can you hear the cry? Again, human trafficking. We have over 200,000. Over 200,000. This past Super Bowl, I went down to Phoenix and I worked with the FBI and the task force. There are 15,000 young ladies brought a week before, the week during, and the week after the Super Bowl. And I tell you, they've got their system. You're talking about technology. We found a hotel that had, I've never seen a hotel that large, Motel 6. 400 rooms. It was almost a two-block square. They had a dilapidated motel across the street, and we discovered this, and we wired it into the command center, where the girls were held hostage. The guys over here would land in a certain room. They had a number and everything. They would call, and the girls would come across the street and find that room. That was going on that whole night. We were able to identify it. We called the FBI. They got the local police in there, and they really bust that ring up. We were like, praise God. Praise God. We were able to rescue a 9-year-old boy. The atrocities, saints. I saw things that I just thought I couldn't be a law officer, because most of these guys wouldn't make it back to the station. They would probably get lost somewhere. But he has given us, morning by morning, he awakens our ears to listen like one being taught. We have ears to hear. Because the Spirit of God gives us that sensitivity to hear the cries of those about us. And so can we hear the cry? And will we avail ourselves? Not only is there a cry from the hurting, but secondly, in verses 27 and 28, there's a cry from hell. Look at that scripture with me. Luke 16, 27 reads, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment." There is one thing that's for certain. Those who have slipped into eternal damnation without Christ, they understand the torment of hell. And yet, out of their torment, their focus, their cry is that God would send someone to their relatives. Send someone to their loved ones. God, the rich young ruler, send Lazarus. Send Lazarus. I don't want my brothers to come to this God-forsaken place. As I read that, can you hear? You can hear the desperation in his cry. More of a pleading. He's asking that someone be sent to share the good news. That someone is you. That someone is me. These people are real. These people are real. They're here on the face of the earth, but their loved ones have slipped into eternal damnation. Could it be, saints of God, that all of those Muslims that have slipped into eternal damnation now understand that this whole Allah thing was a farce? This whole suicide was a farce, and now they're recognizing that, oh God, our loved ones. What about our loved ones? I didn't make it, but they can. Lord, would you do something? And could it be God is moving because he's sending those refugees, he's sending those immigrants here in the United States where the gospel is declared, and it's a response. It's a response to that cry. God, send someone. Send someone. I walked around the sanctuary here this morning, and I'm looking at the different faces. These men and women, if they're still alive, their loved ones are crying out for them. They're crying out for them. So when you look at these, recognize they're connected to someone who has slipped into eternity without Christ. That individual understands the torment of hell and does not want any one of them to perish. Can you hear the cry? They're crying out for real people. People who will spend eternity in hell if we do nothing. There's a father I mentioned that's crying out because that father knows the lifestyle he lived. That father knows the things he allowed his children to do. That father knows the condition he left those children in. And he's now crying out, God, send someone. Send someone to speak to my children. Don't let them slip into this place where I'm at. There's a grandmother. How many of your grandmothers here? Oh, grandmothers, do you love your grandchildren? There's no love. Like, you know, as a matter of fact, I've said the reason your blessing of having grandchildren is because you didn't kill your children. So God has blessed you with grandchildren. That's the blessing. And just imagine the love of a grandmother. She didn't make it. But that heart is still there for her grandchildren. She's crying out, God, send someone. Could that someone be you? Could it be you? That her grandchildren live next door. Or down the block. Maybe they're in the next cubicle. The one who's potty mouth gets on your last nerve. That might be her grandchild. You know, that's reality though, isn't it? That brings it to where we're at. Thank God for what we're able to do when we send our missionaries overseas. And I'm for that. As a church that I pastored for 18 years, I supported that. But I also supported those in U.S. missions because I recognize, as Pastor mentioned, their lives. You can't put a price on souls. What soul is more valuable, the one overseas or the one here at home? Jesus died for. Thank you. Jesus died for all. Again, thank you for your faith promises. You know, because of the faith promises, the faithfulness of faith promise, people are being sent all over the world and all throughout the United States to usher souls into the kingdom of God. Again, he awakens us morning by morning. He awakens our ears to listen like one being taught. Just ask God, Lord, awaken my ear. Don't fear that. Awaken my ear. And then once you awaken my ear, God, you've given me a tongue. You've instructed my tongue that knows the word. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks through you, that knows the word to sustain the weary. Not only is there a cry from the hurting and a cry from hell, but there's also a cry from heaven. Verse 31 says, and he said to him, if you do not listen to Moses and the prophets, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Moses and the prophets addresses the word of God. It's the word of God that echoes the cries of heaven. Listen to the cry of heaven expressed through this word. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear the cry of lost humanity that's recorded in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. John the Baptist says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He didn't say that he was the one crying. He says, I'm giving voice to the cry. The one that is crying is heaven. I'm giving voice to the cry of heaven. Therefore, you and I have been given that same privilege. 2 Corinthians 5:20 declares, we are Christ's ambassadors. Amen? You turn to the person next to you and said, you're an ambassador of Christ. That's right. We're Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. As though God's making his appeal through us. As though heaven was crying out through us. Saints, we are called to give voice to the cry of heaven. Heaven cries out for lost souls. Missions is not just for missionaries. Missions is not just for missionaries. Missions is for every believer. Amen. You missed a good place to shout. It's for every believer. So, again, can you hear the cry? And will you lend your voice? Heaven needs our voice to proclaim that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There was a cry that went from heaven over 2,000 years ago that we all celebrate. That cry said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That cry is confirmation that he wants none to perish. It was a cry, that same cry that stirred the heart of Saul on the road of Damascus to embrace a life of suffering. It was that cry that encouraged the disciples to stand for Christ, even at the threat of persecution. It was that cry that motivated the Macedonian churches to give out of their extreme poverty. Can you hear the cry? Can you hear the cry? And what will it motivate you to do? What will it motivate you to do? Let me conclude with this scripture that's found in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Verses 9 and 10. And now, the cry of the Israelites. I want to insert where it says the Israelites, and neither cry of the broken, the least of these, the influential. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptian, this world system, I've seen the way the Egyptian, this world systems are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. We've got a missionary in Phoenix. What has happened is 600 gypsies from Romania fled Romania because of the persecution. They landed in Mexico. They came across our borders in Arizona. They're now in an apartment complex in Arizona. God is so strategic because the missionary was a missionary in Romania, so he speaks their language. But here's the beautiful thing. They were fleeing the persecution of the Romanian government. They're now in Arizona, and the church that's reaching out to them are Romanians. Isn't that beautiful? It's like the ones you're running from, you're running right into their arms. That's God. That's God. He sees those who are broken, this world system. And verse 10 says, so now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And so once again, congregation, can you hear the cry? And will you respond to the call? So now, go. He is sending you. Father, I bow my heart and I thank you for, once again, the privilege you've afforded me to speak to this house. I pray your blessing upon the angel of this house and your people. I ask now, Lord, that you would just open their ears and instruct their tongues. In Jesus' name, amen.
Really thankful that Malcolm has come here this morning to share with us so many different and new avenues of missions ministry that are happening, but we don't necessarily know about it. And I want to speak to you about one of these this morning as we close for a missionary offering. And I'm very thankful that our brother has been very, very transparent with me as I chatted with him before first service about this. We have a ministry to the blind through our fellowship, and that's under his leadership. And he was just very transparent to say, we've really been weak in this area. And we have a gentleman who is overseeing under Malcolm this ministry. His name is Paul. I've never met Paul. Paul is blind. So Paul doesn't travel on weekends like this to raise money for ministry to the blind. That's just not possible. And Paul has a real need. Now, what Malcolm shared with me is that right now Paul is kind of discouraged, kind of down, because the weight of the ministry and the involvement to make it happen has just been really, really tough. And there is a machine that would make this man's ministry just go so much easier. And there are no funds to buy this machine. So if he wants to communicate something, Paul has to, first of all, pick it up, memorize it, and then put it down in Braille. And this machine would do this all for him. It's called a video magnifier machine with speech. And I would just like us to bless Paul so that when Malcolm goes back on Tuesday or gets back into the office Tuesday or Wednesday, he could go into Paul and say, Paul, there's a church in Michigan that's buying this machine. It costs $4,200. It's not the end of the world. It's not that much, but it's enough that we could take care of that today. And I would encourage you to think about the part that you could have so we could buy this machine. And maybe Paul needs some other materials or some other things that we could also add to this. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before this people and present this need. And I thank you that this people will listen to your voice. And through all of our giving today, it'll be more than enough to take care. And Lord, I pray for Paul today. You would encourage him. And I pray our offering towards his ministry would be an encouragement as he continues to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you take an offering envelope from in front of you? On the right-hand side where it says especially for, just put Malcolm's name, Malcolm Burley. Understand, Malcolm is not coming here for money for his ministry. He's coming here for the large ministry, and particularly we're talking to you about the ministry for the blind this morning. So especially for Malcolm Burley, writing checks, make them payable to Christian Celebration Center. If you say, Pastor, I'd like to be a part of this, but I need till after next payday or whatever, pull the pledge card from in front of you, main floor, balcony, fill it out, keep the reminder, drop the large portion in. If it's easier for you to go home and do this online this afternoon, you can do that also. We will take the cash gifts. We will take the pledges, and we will take your online giving, put it all together, and present that to Malcolm tomorrow evening at our GPI. Ushers, please come forward. We have prayed, so you can receive the offering. At tomorrow night's Global Prayer Initiative, Paul will be there, and we're going to be able to pray for a number of the areas that he is involved with, and also pray particularly for the Center for the Blind and for the leadership of that ministry. Next Sunday, very, very, very special day. I can't tell you who the speaker is because I don't know. Very rare from Sunday to Sunday that I couldn't know who's going to be the speaker here next Sunday. And I guess maybe you've told me, but we have not given the speaker's name nor the country where they're from, because it is a very, very, very sensitive missions outreach situation. And all I can tell you is you are going to be impacted next Sunday in a profound way. And I encourage you not to miss next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, I'll be back in the pulpit, and we'll bring our Faith Promise Sunday. We'll receive your Faith Promise. I want to thank you for repeatedly in both services telling this congregation how important their faith promises are. Because that's the bottom line here, folks. The bottom line isn't how much you just gave in this offering, but it's how much over the next calendar year we can generate for worldwide missions. And I just thank you for prayerfully considering that over the next couple weeks. And we'll gather together in 2 weeks, and we'll talk about that. Let us stand. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And God would grant unto all of us the insight to see all of the missions opportunities that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day, everybody. God bless you.